Well, 2 weeks ago, the family in Huntersville was driving back from their worship service. And their son, Johnny, was in the back seat, and Johnny was crying and crying and crying. And Dad turned around and said, "Johnny, why are you crying? What's wrong?" And Johnny said through his tears, "Well, Dad, I heard the pastor say that he wants all of our children to live in good Christian families, but I want to stay with you guys." Get what you pay for up here. I mean, you really do. You know how different and beautiful it would be if every home was a good and faithful Christian home. If every person in every family loved God with all their heart and soul and mind and strength, and loved one another as Jesus loved us. Well, that's what you're yearning for. Because I sent out this questionnaire, our pink cards that you filled out, and an overwhelming majority of you said what you wanted to be different in 2015 was a healthier family. God is responding to your request, your desire, in three pieces, beginning last week, with a response to say that the foundation of a healthy family is a healthy marriage. This week, God moves to talk about the second piece of a healthy family, which is healthy parents, healthy parenting. And next week, Christine is going to talk about how it is our children are part of building a healthy family. Before we begin, I have three caveats for what we're going to be doing this morning. The first, of course, is that some of you are not parents. And some of you live in families where the children are very young, some much older. I suppose the youngest one we may have here today is perhaps Annabelle. I don't know if Annabelle's here. And the oldest is probably Jordan, I guess. And so the point, though, is that all of these principles we talk about this morning apply to everyone, whether you're in a family or not, and whether your children are of every age. The second thing, of course, is that one sermon cannot talk to all the issues that face our parents and their families. So all I can do this morning is scratch the surface and plant some seeds that we hope will grow. And the third caveat is that I don't want to repeat myself too much, and that is I want you to hold in your mind God's makeover so far, which are that we are to be made new. Choose to cast aside the old and commit to God's Word and Jesus as Lord of our lives. To overcome anxiety by putting peace into action. To build bridges by paying attention to each other and thinking and putting Jesus in the midst of our marriages. And let the light of Jesus shine through us into the world and live for the moment by focusing on Jesus. And last week, enriching our marriages by romance and respect and renewal. All of our parents face a particular challenge. Sometimes we feel like, Jeff, that we are prison guards. That we're always clamping down on our children to try to keep them in the traces. Sometimes we feel like, Jeff, we are helicopter parents. I wouldn't think anybody, parents here, I won't name any names, are always hovering over our children and smothering our children with their attention. It's another way of putting them in prison. Sometimes, Jeff, we feel like we're the ones in prison. Our children have taken over our families. Seems like they're in charge. And we feel like we're in prison from our culture. The power of our culture, which seems to be taking our family in its grips, rather than us and as parents and what God wants for our families. But what God wants for us to be is not imprisoners, prison wardens, or to be imprisoned by a culture of our children, but for us to be empowering parents to give our children the equipment and the power they need to be all that God wants them to be who it is that God wants them to be. Well, God is going to do this for us through this morning through three scriptures, which we're going to walk back and forth through as we go through the message this morning. that lay out what we are to do as parents and who are we to be as parents and why. The first is in Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus. Paul writes this letter to the Christians there because their families are being threatened by the culture. The culture seems to be taking over their families from letting their lives being guided by Jesus. The second is from the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses has led the people from Egypt into the promised land. And he's standing at the brink, and it's his very last sermon to his last days on earth, and he lays out this encouragement, this commandment to the people of Israel to choose God for their families and be blessed rather than the gods they're going to find in this new day in their life in Canaan. And the third is wisdom from the book of Proverbs, describing the effect of what it is like to be a parent and what is at stake. Here's what these words from God say to us this morning, beginning with Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus. Children, do what your parents tell you. Honor your father and mother as the first commandment that has a promise attached to it, so you will live well and have a long life. Parents, do not exasperate, or in Colossians he says, discourage your children, by coming down hard on them. Instead, take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Lord. Or as another version puts it, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Moses speaks to us this morning, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Jesus adds 1,500 years later, and he said, I've got one more commandment for you, which is love each other as I love you. Write these words of God on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them at home and on the road when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them to your hands and on your foreheads and nail them to the door frames of your homes. See, there are other influences and there are no guarantees. But every study shows that parents are the most powerful influence on the lives of their children, the most powerful influence on how our children turn out as adults. God reveals to us in these powerful words what is at stake. What we do as parents determines, at least shapes the path of the life of our children. Whether our children live well and live long, whether God will be the Lord of their lives or some other God. God gives us three prescriptions for how it is we can be healthier parents, be involved in healthier parenting. And God gives us a memory tool. Well, maybe God didn't exactly have this in mind, but I give you these memory tools, these letters sometimes, so that when you leave here, you might actually remember something about what we talked about here today. That's my hope. Last week, I was so gratified because a wife here was not here. Said that her husband came home and said, I want to tell you what the pastor said today. And he said, I can remember it because it was three R's. He remembered what they were, which was romance, respect, and renewal. However, he conveniently did not mention to her what renewal is about, and that is for him to ask her this week, how could I have been a better husband this week? I mentioned that to her. And she said, well, he didn't say anything about that. I said, well, why don't you go home and left something up about that? I'm always meddling. So God's memory tool that he gives us this morning is that each of these prescriptions begins with a letter from the word Valentine. I mean, is God clever or what? But he does it in Hebrew, which means that there are no vowels, only consonants. So we are really into the word of the Lord this morning. So God's first prescription for healthier parenting is values. The ways of the Lord that define what our family stands for and who we are. You see, unless we clearly define what our family stands for, what our values are, then our children will fill the void with other values. The values of our secular society, of what they see in the media, what they read on their little instruments of torture, those cell phones, smartphones, whatever they are. Instagram, you name the poison. Or we may suddenly hit them with, you should have known this, apparently by osmosis. And suddenly this value comes out of the atmosphere after the fact. But there's another value danger that I want to lift up for us this morning. And that is that we as parents settle for second-rate values. What is socially acceptable. You know these. I want my child to be physically healthy, performing at or above their grade level, involved in church, have decent friends, they're not involved in gangs or alcohol or drugs, they don't make trouble. Here's the way to describe them. We say, my daughter is a good kid. My son is a good kid. God wants a lot more, my friends, than good kids. Those things are just fine as far as they go, but for our children to become all that God created them to be, our family values must go deeper. Paul says, lead your children in the ways of the Lord. What that means is that our children live for this purpose and for this in their hearts, to love God with all their heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love one another just as Jesus loves them, to serve God. This goes deeper than being a good kid. And we know that here. Because what is happening in the lives of our youth here, through our youth fellowship, is that they have gone deeper from being good kids to being young people who are on fire for the Lord. Their hearts are changing. And everywhere they go, as Deuteronomy says, the Lord is on their heart. When they get up, and when they walk the streets, and when they're in school, and when they come home, the Lord is in their hearts. That, my friends, is a lot more than a simple family value. Fred, we want you to be a good kid and keep your grades up. Well, what's exciting to me about this morning is that this is what you want. Because our kids here, they're pretty much good kids. What you know is that God wants more for your children, wants more for your family than that. When we find the values that God wants for our family, we find them in one place and one place only, and that is the Bible. God's Word for our walk of life. We are called as parents to lead our children in the ways of the Lord, setting for the values for our family based on God's Word, for God's Word, not just what is socially acceptable, but what God created us to live, the truth that He lays out for us in His Word. See, these are some of the fundamentals. The Ten Commandments, yes. The Golden Rule, yes. To love all people, even our enemies, as precious children of God. Whatever you think, whatever you say, whatever you do, do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, seeking His endorsement before you think or say or do anything. We want our children's lives filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and generosity and self-control and compassion and forgiveness and mercy and humility. We want our children to pray every day and throughout the day for God to guide their steps. We want our children to serve the poor and feed the hungry and house the homeless and seek justice for the oppressed. We want our children to spread the good news of Jesus Christ wherever they go. Not afraid, not ashamed, but to say, yes, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I want Jesus for you as well. We want our children to open their hearts, to invite Jesus in, to live in their hearts, to shine in their lives and through their lives every step of every day. Yes, my friends, that is a lot more than being a good kid. That is the basic value that God wants for our family, to lead our children in the ways of the Lord. If you ask your child, what values does our family stand for? Would they know? If they answer the question, Would they answer it? To love God with all my heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love one another the way Jesus loves me. To spread the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever I go. Well, these are the values that your family stands for, and your children know it. Then good. And I encourage you to get out of here and go and tell every family you see, because my friends, there are a lot of families where that is not their values and they don't know what their values would be. And to tell them how you got there as a family. If not, then my friends, the time is now to make your family values known. Make the priority for you as a parent for your children is to raise them in the way of the Lord. It will transform your family. It will transform your child. And it will bring you closer than ever. This was a transforming moment for the Allen family, the family of our daughter Shannon and her husband Mark. I've mentioned you this before. I know I lift up Mark and Shannon pretty regularly, and that's because I do not know any family where Jesus is more in the midst of everything they do. But when they were living in Beijing, something not so great happened. They began to lose focus on the ways of the Lord for their family. They were living in a bubble over there in Beijing. Everything was super great. And they were busy, super busy. And they began to lose focus on the ways of the Lord for their family. And so, they brought their family together. They had a family meeting. They prayed about this, and then they opened the Bible. And they prayed for God to lead them to write out and say what they stood for as a family. And what that happened is that God led them to write a vision for their family that would guide them, they said, in everything they did. Here's a brief summary of that statement of values by the Allen family. To read and discuss and be guided by the Bible every day for something they're facing that day. To delight in the Lord, giving thanks for His Word and for new life every day. To serve Him and always impact the world for good. To reach out to others who are in need. To glorify God every day. To love God and one another every day. To claim the strength that He has given them to stand always for righteousness. To take the strength that He has given them always to stand for righteousness. They put these values on their refrigerator. And every day, they ask whether they had lived up to those values or not. I called Shannon yesterday to see whether this was still what they did. The answer was yes. Those values are the way to the Lord. They do not change. Our goals change, but our values are the same. Do you believe that a vision, a statement of values like that would make your family healthier? Would it make you a healthier parent? Would it bring you closer together? If that would be helpful to your family, make your family healthier, then I suggest before the sun goes down at the end of this week that you call a family meeting. You open the Bible and you get busy. Now, if we clearly state what God's values are for our family, then it'll be cleaner and easier to live out God's second prescription for healthier parenting. And it starts with an L. Keep it up with me. V, L, actually several of them. Set limits on your children's behavior. Lay out the consequences that are based on God's values and discipline them with love. Paul instructs us, bring your children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. One of the best gifts you can give to your children is boundaries. Limits on how they behave, limited by the values for which your family stands. Lay out for them the paths that you expect them to walk, that God expects them to walk, that reflect the Bible-based values of your family. Lay out what the consequences are when they walk off that path, and consistently enforce the boundaries. Now, I was mentioning this to Sally, and she said, be sure you add. So add it in red with an asterisk, with both parents on the same page. Sally and I, right, close your ears, honey, we made some mistakes as parents. As I was working on this message, I realized there were some ways that I stepped over the line. But one thing we did is we laid out our values for our family, not in writing, we should have, and we set boundaries, and we did not vary from those boundaries. And we were always on the same page. And never give in to the tantrums of your two-year-old or your teenager. One of the worst things you can do for your family is to let your children do whatever it is they want to do and fail to enforce your values, fail to impose the consequences for crossing the boundaries. Do children and teenagers like having these boundaries? What do you think? No. At least that's what they say. But here's the truth. George Barna, who's a famous surveyor of religious life in America, did an extensive survey of like 37,000 families, teenagers, actually young adults. And the question he asked is to find out how they felt about these barriers growing up. And what he found is that children who grew up to live Christ-focused lives were children of parents who set boundaries and enforced them with consequences. One of the interviewees responded this way. I resented being disciplined. But I knew because of that my parents cared about me because they took the time to do what was best for me, even though they probably didn't like doing it either. You see, this is the wisdom of Proverbs that says, the parent who loves their child will discipline them. The flip side of that parable, that wisdom from Proverbs is this. The parent who hates their child will not. But here's a warning, parents. Never, ever discipline your child when you are angry or with anger. It is disrespectful to the child, and you are acting like a child. And you are discrediting your family values of patience and kindness and compassion and love. At best, your impatient anger will correct them momentarily. At worst, and I would add most likely, is they will begin to adopt your impatient, angry, disrespectful behavior. Most often, children learn not by what they're taught, by what they catch. Paul instructs us, do not come down hard on your children. Discipline them in the way of the Lord. What are the ways of the Lord? Kindness, compassion, patience, and love. So take a breath. Find a way to put space between the action and the discipline. And when the consequences are enforced, help your child to see how this behavior is not good for them. Why you chose the consequences that you did. And always tell them how much you love them. If you act in anger, and if you judge too quickly, if you were wrong, then apologize to them. You tell your child, in the words of Shannon yesterday, she said, tell your child, I sinned against you. and I ask your forgiveness. I saw how this can transform a child through discipline with love in one of our children. One of their family values is always tell the truth. One of their children shockingly developed a habit for not telling the truth. I think this is the only child who's ever lied to their parents, right? We're with me on this? No child has ever lied to their family except this one child in this one family. Well, here's a confession I hate to make. Our child unfortunately learned a certain level of toughness from his dad. That's me. And what you see in your children is they begin to mimic the way you discipline them. And our child came down hard on their child. And what happened was that this child changed briefly for a moment. But what happened is they grew an attitude of defiance. Until our child changed their approach, realizing this was getting nowhere. Instead, they took time to take their child aside and ask them whether lying was a good thing. They knew it wasn't. A talk with them about why it is that God did not want them to lie, and why lying was really not good for them, and telling the truth was. And our child always concluded with how much they loved them. The result was that disciplining with love transformed this child from a liar to a truth teller. And the beautiful thing that happened is this child came to love our child more than they ever had. They are like this. Because our child did what Paul says, a discipline in the way of the Lord with love. Love is the foundation of God's third prescription for healthy parenting, which is now an N. You with me so far? VLN, which is notice. Notice the unique gifts of your child and encourage them to use their gifts. We honor God by honoring the creation of our child in a certain unique way. We dishonor our God by trying to shape our child to be like who? Us. Who we want our child to be. Who we wish we had been. Sometimes parents try to live their lives, relive their lives through their child. You know where you see this a lot? On the ball field. Yep. Dad was a terrible basketball player, but by goodness, their child is going to be a great one, and we're going to beat on them until they're Michael Jordan or LeBron James or whomever. When you hear yourself saying that your child is not measuring up, you ask yourself, to what? To whom? To what value? Is your child measuring up to what God wants for them? As your child grows older, notice what their uniques are, or seem to be. And never, my friends, I'm doing a lot of nevers this morning, never, ever compare them to a brother, a sister, or a friend. If you hear these words coming out of your mouth, you apologize to your child for sinning against them, which says, you should be more like them. Never say that. I am a living example of parents who got that part. My brother was an all-star in everything. He was a straight-A student. He was an all-conference athlete. He was president of the student body and a Moorhead scholar. My parents never, ever gave me a scintilla of evidence that I was compared to him. Ever. I never felt it. Instead, they noticed my unique gifts, which are unique indeed, as Sally can attest. Probably my mother, she will still hear God bless. What they did is they focused, they noticed my gifts, and they encouraged every one of those gifts, which are gifts that I am able to use for you today. I think that Sally and I, as I said earlier, fulfilled the prescription for being sure our children knew what the barriers were, the boundaries were, and also for lifting up our unique gifts of each one of our very different children. By the way, I just want to ask you a question. How many of you in here have more than one child in your family? Raise your hand. How many of those children are exactly alike? Weird, isn't it? Sometimes you look around and say, who really was the father of this child? That's when they're crossing the boundaries, right? That's that day. So I have seen one of our children do this, and I want to offer this. I hate to keep talking about my children, but I know them better than probably anybody else. And I see things now and say, hallelujah, I don't know how this happened, but I'm glad it's happening. So our son Fred, I'll name somebody this time, was an excellent, and I underline these words, very competitive athlete. I mean, very competitive. His son Mac is not. His son Mac is a head taller than everybody in his class, and he is all arms and legs. And he would rather help you than beat you. He actually thinks, by the way, that sports is supposed to be fun. My son says sports are fun, but they're a lot more fun if you win. That's my son's attitude. But my son gets this, and that is you notice the unique gifts of your children, because when you let Mac get out on a hike or a camping trip, he's a genius. He's almost as good as Tyler Cox at pulling up a rock and finding a snake. Not quite, because Tyler's a professional. But Mac, he's close. If you're going on a hike or camping trip, you want Mac with you. That's his gift, is the outdoors. So my son, instead of pushing his life, his gifts on his son, what he has done is, although he is a super busy guy, he has carved out time to be the den leader of his son's Cub Scout den. They go on hikes together, camping trips together. They do Cub Scout stuff together. What Fred is doing is honoring Mac's unique gifts, not forcing his gifts on him. And when Sally and I talk to Mac, he just lights up when he starts talking about the outdoors and being a Cub Scout. And so many of the sentences, forgive the improper grammar of my grandson Mac, start with these words, Dad and me. Dad and me. And because Fred notices Mac's unique gifts and honors them and encourages them, Mac has deep respect for his dad and loves him. You want a healthier family? Well, you notice the unique gifts of your children, and you lift them up. You take whatever time it takes to encourage them. What Fred is doing carries out God's fourth prescription for a healthy family, which is to teach our children the ways of the Lord by living them ourselves. You knew I was getting to that one, didn't you? Paul gives us this beautiful insight in the Message translation. Do not come down hard on your children. Instead, take them by the hand and lead them in the ways of the Lord. We cannot push or coerce or argue our children into living in the ways of the Lord. Living the ways of the Lord always depends on what our children see in us. We teach the ways of the Lord by showing our excitement for learning God's Word, of being excited about being in worship, of being in a class or small group where you explore God's Word. And you know, friends, we talk about doing daily devotionals, but somebody, a parent who wants to lead their children the ways of the Lord, doesn't settle for one of these little, sometimes insipid daily devotionals. Instead, they open the Bible and they turn to their son or daughter and say, what's going on in your life this week that God wants to speak to? Then they explore God's Word together, what God's Word is saying to something that's happened in their life. And then pray before and after together for God to give guidance to your child and to you. We teach the ways of the Lord by setting an example for our family. If your child looks at you, they say, Jim? Well, JB may not say this yet. Let's just pick somebody. Let's say Harry. Niall and Sammy and Harry look at Harry and they say, is Harry loving, joyful, peaceful, kind, patient? We won't take a vote. But they're looking at Harry and they're saying, here's what the way of the Lord is supposed to look like. If your way of the Lord does not look like this Bible, then you are teaching them, yeah. But you're teaching them to walk in a different way, not in the way of the Lord. We teach the ways of the Lord by making your family of faith, this church, a priority. And I know it's going to hurt some people's feelings here, and that is by not choosing sports on Sunday over being in worship and with our youth fellowship. Our children learn from that, the choices you make on Sunday. We teach the ways of the Lord by being excited about our faith. George Barna's survey in 2012 concluded there are two types of families whose children end up being adults who are committed to the ways of the Lord. Here are the two. Young people who grew up in a family that were not a Christian family. That's Mark. He came to the Lord later in life. And children who grew up in a family where the parents were excited about the ways of the Lord and their family of faith and living that way in the world. The adults least likely to end up being committed Christians later in their life are those who grew up in a Christian family, for whom being involved in their family of faith and walking the ways of the Lord when it's convenient to us and doesn't interrupt with the rest of our schedule. And most powerful of all, we teach the ways of the Lord by moving our family to serve others. Serving others. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you must be a servant of all. Jesus says, when you serve the least of me, these, that's when you meet me, that's when you see my face. John affirmed in his first letter, if you see a brother or sister in need and you do not fulfill your need, then you do not love God, John says. And as we read in the book of James this morning, James says, if you see a brother and sister in need, and you do not reach out to serve them, your faith is dead. You have no faith. The faith of our families are dead if we just live for us and ours. The way of the Lord is never just about our family, our kids, ourselves. It's about serving those others who are in need. But our family will lead, you will lead your family in the ways of the Lord if you reach out to serve. So many of our families here have discovered this. This is not a fiction. It's not theoretical. One of our families was struggling in a number of ways until their parents led their children in the ways of the Lord, reaching out to some of our youth in East Huntersville. This family has been transformed, has become a family focused on the ways of the Lord. They're now ready, I think, to make a statement of what they stand for, what their values are, the ways of the Lord for their family. As one of the parents said to me, and this could be many of the parents in this room today, the Bible and Jesus have come alive for us in ways that we never could imagine. It has changed our children. It has changed our family. We have become so much closer together. We love each other more than we ever have. We are so blessed. God wants to bless your family, to be healthier, to come closer, to love each other more. Let him bless your family by teaching the ways of the Lord, by reaching out to others. Which brings us to God's fifth and final prescription for healthier parenting. What letter are we up to now? Anybody keep it up? Excellent! I am so impressed. N. Nail God's values for your family to your door. God knows that all of us need a daily reminder about our commitment to Him, of living the commitment we have made. So God says in Deuteronomy, as a reminder, nail my words to the door frame of your houses. Paul invites us to lead our children in the ways of the Lord. It's the ways of the Lord that will change our families and bring us closer together. As parents, it is so easy to forget in God's values for our family. It's so easy to forget what the Lord has told us this morning. It's so easy for us to forget to teach God's values by living them every day. So I'm going to follow God's lead this morning and give you a way to remember the ways of the Lord for your family. I'm not going to require you to nail this to the door of your home, okay? Instead, I'm going to offer you to hang this on your door. This is called a door hanger. It comes from another part of Deuteronomy I didn't have a chance to read to you. What this door hanger says, this is our family. You're going to lay out the names. Ena, Tim, Nathaniel. Right on there. The next line I filled in for you. I don't want to leave this to chance. Yeah. You know, I still have this control sin. Y'all with me on this? Oh, I'm not going to leave us a chance. So in blue type, middle light blue, it says, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, with an exclamation point. Y'all probably realize I like exclamation points. Then it leaves a space for you to fill in, these are our values. These are our goals, and this is our motto for our family. So I'm going to challenge you to take this door hanger, call a family meeting, pray, open the Bible, and ask the question, what are our values? What do we stand for? What are the ways of the Lord that the Lord wants for our family? And when you go out of your house in the morning, you hang this on the outside of your door. So everybody comes to your door and says, this family, the Lekovich family, is committed to Jesus, and here are their values they stand for. When you come home at night, you are reminded of what it is you had agreed to be. You take that and you put it on the inside of your door that night, so you'll see it during the evening. As you walk out the door in the morning, you see it again. This is who I'm called to be today. Every day you take this and lay it on the family dinner table and say, how do we do this week? How do we do today? Now, you may not think that's worth the effort. Question is, do you think it's worth the effort for your family to be healthier, for your children and yourself to walk in the ways of the Lord, to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, to love each other as Jesus loves you? After the Israelites crossed into the promised land, Joshua called a big family meeting, all the Israelites. He said, okay, folks, just like I'm saying this morning, you got a choice. Who's going to be your God? It's going to be the God who loves you. It's going to be the other gods that this new day in your life out there in the world somewhere. Joshua said, as for me and my family, I'm the parent. My wife and I, we've gotten together. And we have decided that we're going to choose to walk in the way of the Lord. Right now, God is asking you that question. As you begin this new day and this new year, maybe as you begin Lent on Wednesday, who do you choose for your family? Choose the Lord your God, or some other God who's just hungry to fill in that void in the life of your children? A choice. I hope you choose the Lord. Amen.